We had a great Thanksgiving. It's been really good. Turn with me to Isaiah 55 if you have your Bibles. One morning, it was a few weeks ago, I was just spending time with the Lord in the early in the morning, just waiting on direction and where to go, what to study, where life was, you know, looking for that oil, looking for that well. And I was drawn to a phrase came to my mind that I know well, but I wasn't sure where it was. I had to search for a moment. I forgot where it was, and it was actually Isaiah 55. It's one place that it talks about the sure mercies of David. And the sure mercies of David are the mercies that were on him, or the favor that was on David. And it was so covenantal oriented. It was on him that even when he failed, it stayed on him. That's a good one. That's the kind of favor you want. We can get favor with people and in situations, but don't fail. Don't fall short. Don't miss your quota. Especially don't offend anybody. Don't slip. Don't stumble. Don't fall. You're out of favor. You're out of grace. You're out of the family. You're out of the friendship. You're out of the marriage. You're out of the church. You're out of something, you know. And it all comes to pass or comes into being when something happens to a favor or a grace that you once had. And we're human, and we're prone to stumble. We're prone to fall short, especially among the people that think the most of us. And last week, I think that I had a teaching on expectations and perception and define those. Listen to the podcast. It's really impacted people because expect what expectations are. And then I had the question, where did this come from? And it comes from analyzing and looking and evaluating somebody by watching what they do and how they deal with things. And you get this expectation of who they are, what they are, how they'll be with you no matter what for long term. And inevitably, we fall short. We fail. Every marriage goes through this. Well, every normal marriage. There are probably some weird marriages. Every once in a while, you hear someone say, "We never fight." I go, "You're weird." But every marriage has to go through that process where you're not quite who I thought you would be. You never had this situation before to go through with them, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, where did this come from? I didn't see this when we were, you know, in our perfect dating scenario situation. And all of a sudden, where'd this come from? And someone falls from your expectation. And so this happens all the time. And it's just natural. It's normal. We have to learn to deal with this. If expectations become like an altar. And Jesus comes along and gives us instruction in the midst of this problem. Like he would say, forgive. And you're like, don't talk to me. Because no, they weren't supposed to do this. This wasn't supposed to happen. I don't want to hear from you right now. No, I'm not going to forgive. This was, I believed this. I thought this. I felt this. This is what my life was going to look like. It was supposed to look like. It doesn't look like this. Like, and we resist even the truth because those things are so elevated. They're built out of stone. The stone of your reasoning and your deductions and what you saw and what you heard. And you're like, I'm convinced this person is perfect. This scenario is going to be perfect. And it never, never, ever is. Because we are we. And we are here, not there. And so things aren't going to turn out that way. We have to not lower our expectations. That's a human way of looking at it. But we have to enter into being spiritual and hearing the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And so this area of tapping into the sure mercies of the Lord, sure mercies of David described, he had this favor. It followed him. It was given to him. The Father in heaven gave this to him, and it was stayed on him, even through his failures. Yes, he still had to repent. He still had to change. He still had to acknowledge things, but the favor stayed on him. I want that. So I was looking at that, just meditating on it, and then I went, where did this come from? And I lifted my eyes to the beginning of the chapter. In the beginning... And Isaiah 55, what's the first word in your translation that you have? Mine is ho. Is anybody else have any other different words? Ho, like who got to translate that word? Like, you know, our Bibles are translations from the Hebrew in this case. And someone was like, hey, you translate this word. And you're like, there isn't a word in English that matches this. Like, ho, what kind of ho, ho? When's the last time in your conversation you used that word, don't answer? Like, I know, you're thinking Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. Imagine and think for a moment of the street vendor. We've kind of eliminated that in our culture, but it exists some. When I was in India, you get on the train, you travel on the train, there's these little guys walking around with, they're selling coffee. And they all sound the same. They have this when they're selling coffee, they all sound the same. They have the same call. It's like this little irritating voice, coffee, 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 you know? And it's this little thing of coffee about this big, but it's pure potent caffeine, like almost not liquid. You know, one cup, you go, bing, I'm awake. One little shot. It was a shot glass. That's what they were. Like, of course, everything's stainless steel there, you know. The street vendor, they would call out, popcorn, hot dogs, the guys at the hot dog stand. You go to the ball game. That still exists, doesn't it? Aren't there guys walking around, got this tray on front? At least I've seen the pictures. Hot dogs, you know, and they're yelling and they're looking for someone that raised their hand, so you pass the drinks and the hot dogs down the aisle. And they're selling something. Now, that picture, bring that here. Ho, everyone who's thirsty, come to the waters. It's the cry of the street vendor, of the merchandiser. Only it's God, and he's calling out, I have something to sell to you. Anybody thirsty? Want a Pepsi? Want a water? You want a Dasani? What do you want? You know. And he's calling out, anyone thirsty? Come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. And I never paid attention to it before. And I looked at that and I went, how do you ask someone to come and buy something off of you, and then you say this, you can't buy with money and there's not a price? Isn't the first thing that you do, someone's at a table, they're selling something, and what do you ask? How much? First of all, you go, oh, I like that. How much? I'd like one of these. How much? Jesus is like, first of all, your money's no good here. You can't buy this with money. I'm selling it, but you can't buy it with money, and what's the price? No price. No set price. And I became intrigued after all these years. I went, oh, this is interesting. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk. It'd be like going to the store. Wine was very common to have, like Pepsi. Go some Pepsi and some milk. You know, that's what you ask every Sunday night. Do we have enough milk for the kids for the week? You know, for cereal, for whatever. Go get some wine and some milk. Buy wine and milk without money, without price, And then the vendor continues, why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. So this vendor, the Lord, is letting us know that there's an invitation. You can obtain this and you can have abundance. You can have abundance. Let me remind you, you can have abundance. You can come to the waters if you're thirsty and you can drink. Not dribbles, not little drops, not little, but abundance. You can have all you want to satisfy your soul. And I think we don't tap into that very often. It's the evidence is the stuff we're still carrying and the heaviness and the struggles and the whatever. Struggles aren't bad. Who cares about bills if you have money to pay them? Like if it's, you got the electricity and you get the bill, you go, oh yeah, thank you for the electricity, here's the money. Until you don't have the money to pay the bill, then you're like, I never mind paying bills when I have money. It's always a stress when I don't have money. Then the whole thing changes. Duh, honey, shut off the lights. We didn't have enough money to pay the bills. Like, shut off the lights, slow down, don't spend so much. But in God's kingdom, it's interesting. There's abundance. Well, like water, we're always saving water. Shut off the water. Don't run the water. Don't actually, And the older you get, the more little fussy you get about those kind of things. Don't waste the water. It comes up. It goes down the drain, whatever. It circulates, I'm like, whatever. You want to talk about wasting water? God wastes water. He's a water waster. He turns it on, he lets it run. It's like no one's drinking. Doesn't matter, the water's on. It's like that, honestly. See, our mentality, like, don't waste. There's in what the Lord has, what he supplies, there's abundance. Come and drink of these waters. Come and drink, be satisfied. Come and buy from me. Am I doing that? We've been getting a pop. Check the hand mic. Yeah. We'll have to check into that. So again, come and buy from me. So we walk up to the table. He's like, your money's no good here. And what's the price? It's not a price. It's not a normal price. So how do I get this? How do I get water? How do I get bread? How do I get substance? How do I tap into this sure mercies of David that just were on him, stayed on him? So meditating on it, I realize there's an invitation to buy, but you're not allowed to. Like, how do you do this? Now everybody that's taken an offering is like, shut up, Rick, don't do that. Don't, you're messing up our offering. But honestly, I love our declarations. We make declarations because we want our households to prosper. I want you to prosper. We make our declarations before the service because we don't make an appeal for money. We're prospering. Like, we're really prospering. We're prospering. Isn't that crazy? And we say very little about money here. People give. They give freely. They give in faith. I want you to give believing for the Lord to return, but it can never become a dirty thing where you're like asking for money for something. Like, it gets weird, doesn't it? Like, but when people can give freely and they love giving and they give because the Lord asks us to tithe and sow into the kingdom, and we do that as a principle. He's like, test me in this. You did this, I'll bless you. Open up heavens. Like, it's always a good thing when the windows of heaven open up and gold coins start falling out of heaven on you. I like that. So we don't want to mix up the dirtiness of how we collect money or what we do sometimes in the church. Like, we don't need to do that. And the Lord will bless us. So then I was meditating on this, and I went, Isaiah 61. And here's the exchange. And I went, there is an exchange. There is a way you buy this from the Lord. And look at this passage it actually is verse 3. Another amazing scripture, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and we believe Jesus read this scripture. in verse 3, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty, I give you beauty, you give me your ashes. Oh. So this is how this works. What do you do when you buy something in the store? Y'all been shopping, Black Friday, everything. What'd you do? You identify what you want. You might have brought it to the counter. And the next thing you do is the plastic card, the cash, the whatever. You know, you pay for it before you can walk out the door. Or the sirens go off and they come and get you. And so the Lord asks something from you, and it's not money. Now, about the time I say that, the Lord will ask something for somebody, it'll be money, but that's between you and the Spirit. I told someone once they'd never get baptized in the Spirit by saying banana backwards. But after I prayed over them, later that night, they got the Spirit, and they told me the next morning, guess what the Lord's Holy Spirit told me to say? I'm like, no, I don't know. Banana backwards. I'm like, duh. I give up. No counsel. Just, you know, here's the word. Do what the Spirit says, and I'm out. I'm out of this, you know? I just pray. So you see this exchange. We know this passage is so familiar with many of you. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So I want to submit to you. And this also reveals another problem we have. If you get something from the Lord, but he asked for something in exchange, and you didn't give that to him, now you still have the what, especially when it's this kind of stuff. He gave you the joy, but you still carry, and you're not going to experience it in the fullness because you still have you still carry the heaviness. You still own it. It's still in your pocket. There was there's a scene in a movie, Lord of the Rings, when Bilbo Baggins, this ring that has this attraction, you know. And Gandalf is saying, give me the ring, it's dangerous, like it's, you need to give it up. And he's like, yeah, he agrees. And then the next thing you know, he's got it stuffed in his pocket because it's hard to let go of. And he's like, oh. And it's hard to let go of our heaviness. It's hard to let go of the ashes. The ashes are on the mantle. Like, it's sometimes hard to let go of this. The ashes are the last thing that remain of something. I believe the Lord's asking for that from you. If you want this, you got to give that. You can't buy it with money. Got to give it with, and it's interesting. He asks for the ashes, for the heaviness, for the dirty garments. Like, he asks for that from us. Give that to me, because you won't need that anymore. You won't need that anymore. The ashes for the beauty, the mourning for the oil of joy, and the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. I believe we need to learn how to give this, really give this stuff to the Lord. And when we give it, believe for the exchange, because that's I'm not making this up, it's here. And the thing we miss is, and back to Isaiah 55, he's the one that said, he's the one that's the street vendor saying, hey, I've got water here, water, you know, do you want water? Come, buy from me. He's the one that's calling out, I have this. All you, Jesus repeats this, not looking like a street vendor, of course. But what are his words? All you are thirsty and heavy laden, come, I'll give you rest. I'll give you drink. So, would you consider giving the Lord your mess? Like really giving it up? Give up ownership of that. The failed relationship, the loss of a loved one, the thing that is so precious to you, you're mourning over, but it's still in your possession. You're still tucked right here in your pocket. Would you consider giving that up in exchange for what the Lord's offering you? Because he's actively offering you. He's offering you substance. He's offering you. He offers us provision. He offers us healing. He offers us joy. He offers us gladness. He offers us a new life, a new day. He offers us all kinds of things, and the church is bankrupt with not having what the Lord has promised, and we're like, he said we could be healed, but we're not healed. I don't know. I just take this home with you. Like, okay, is there something we're missing? Because he's not a liar. He doesn't lie. And I've not seen the fulfillment of all the promises. We have some testimonies. We have a little bit, but are we gonna stop there? Like, yeah, I heard tell something happened great somewhere in another country. We have the need right here, don't we? Don't have to go to India to find a need. We have the need. We have the need. We need the Lord to come continually. We build, then as leaders, we start building theology around disappointment. I don't want to get good at doing funerals. I want to get good at doing resurrections. Yeah? Been a lot of funerals lately. But I remember, like, you know, you're like preparing for a funeral. And I remember years ago going, I don't want to get good at this. I want to get good at praying for people and seeing them come back to life. I don't want to get good at hospital visitation. I want to get good at healing and not having to go there. Send a handkerchief. That's, you know, an implication of, you know, Paul sent handkerchiefs. People were healed just because the handkerchief came. I don't understand it, but it happened. So, but the Lord's calling out to us. We hear the promises. We hear the voice of the vendor. We hear the voice of the street merchant. We hear his voice, come to me. Come if you're thirsty. Come if you're broken. Come if you're hung up. Come if you're hung over. Come with your stuff. Come as you are. Don't leave as you are. Don't leave with that thing that you need to deposit. Come and give him that and figure it out. I don't know how to tell you to do that exactly, except we all know how we hang on to things, and we all know when the Lord's saying, I need that, and you're like, I don't know if I can. Okay, I'll be right here. But you can't have this till you give that. We don't teach that way because we're like, well, there's, you know, you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. He wants your stinking mess. He wants your failure. It's just going to mess you up anyways. He wants your depression because you won't need that anymore. He wants your heaviness because you won't need that where you're going. You're not going to need that where you're going to roll. You hang on to the old dirty grave clothes. Like, you don't need that. Men are the worst. We get a shirt that's comfortable, we'll wear around the house, whatever. Pretty soon your wife's like, throw that thing away. We're like, but it feels so good. I had one t-shirt just like that. I'm like, it's really disgusting, but it was so comfortable. I'm like, I just need to do this. Boom, in the trash can. Like, it was getting really raggy looking. But it's so comfortable. I was embarrassing myself. I can't wear this around, even around the house. The old dirty garment can feel very comfortable. We like comfort. You're like, you got to be kidding. It's true. Look around. Especially those of you that like to really hang on to things. But honestly, don't feel alone. We all can hold on to things. Let it go. Exchange it. Exchange it. Buy from me. Lord, how do I buy from me? Give me your junk. I'll give you my stuff. Do you know a contract's not binding till there's exchange, even of a dollar? Do you know that you can? This is legally true in the legal world. Just a dollar constitutes a contract. Just a dollar of exchange. You're like, not. Are you serious? Even for anything, it can be huge. It can be a huge value of something. And anybody in the legal department will tell you that the exchange of there has to be an exchange of something. Like you go to, I don't know, just of course in this world, but it's still true. We'll just leave that. We'll forget the exceptions. There needs to be some exchange for it to be a legal contract, almost always. And you exchange that. Even if it's minuscule to the value of what you're now there's a contract between you. A dollar has been given. And the same is true from the Lord. What can I give him, poor as I am? Give him, you know, this is the old, you know, is the old song. Is it there was a worship song we sang years ago, Phyllis? Yeah, what can I, it's called What Can I Give Him? Go figure. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I was a shepherd, I'd give a lamb, you know. And it's so true, the Lord's asked you from what you have. What do you have? What's in your hand? And most of us just have a lot of mess. And he's like, I'll take that. Because it's really yours. It's what you actually own. I have some failures. Those are really yours. I see your name on them. We're like so fussed up about those, but they're valuable in the exchange. Lord, the Lord's like, give me that. Stop carrying it. Give me that. When we don't give him that stuff, then even if we get good things, everything's based on that. That's why you find us sometimes with attitudes. We'll say, you bump into someone, they're like, I have a chip on their shoulder. They're still owning their thing. They're still wearing that. And it's still alive and well. It just stays alive right there. Ding. And you bump into them, and it doesn't take, you know, in a New York minute, you're like, whoa, you're wrapped too tight. Like, what's that? They're carrying something, aren't they? It's something that should have been exchanged. Something that needs to be exchanged. And the Lord's saying, give to me. Give to me what you have, and I'll give to you what I have. Beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that in verse 3 of 61, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He wants us to be oaks. I want you to be an oak. I want you to be firmly planted. I want you to be solid. He wants you to, I was meditating this week on the concept of the Lord wants us to be full of light. And this whole thing about the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is good, then the body is good. And if your eye is bad, the body is bad. And I want, wow, I think I don't completely get this. But the promise is that even your body can be full of light. I want that. I want to be full of light. And the secret is my eye. And I'm like, if my eye is good, my body will be full of light. But if my eye is bad, it'll be full, it'll have darkness in it. If there's darkness in me, then the darkness outside of me seems to find that darkness in me. So we're trying to self-improve ourselves, and I wouldn't give a whole lot of energy into that. God bless your heart for trying to improve and develop some better habits, et cetera, et cetera. But what if I stirred up the hope today that you can be full of light, and when you're full of light, you're different. Everything looks different. You don't respond to the same things. You don't fall into the same traps. You're not pulled here and pulled there. You don't stumble into the pit. You don't fall into the temptation. You don't, like, good grief, where did that come from? I wasn't thinking about losing my temper, but by golly, I did. I totally lost it, made a fool of myself. Again, I'm 64 years old. What's the matter with me? If we're full of light, if we're full of what the Lord wants to give us, that's the goal. Like, we want more, want that to come. And we need to sit at Jesus' feet and exchange with the vendor, come up to the table and go, how do I get this? If I can't pay for it, if I can't work for it, if I can't earn it, how do I get from you? We need to have some really good Jesus talks, honestly. Don't just stop with, they have it, I don't, I probably won't get it. Don't stop there. Don't do that. Find out, how do I move? How do I get there? And sit, gaze, and look at him, and ask of him. Phyllis, thank you for saying it. It's like the Lord answers our questions. We forget, he doesn't forget what you ask him. We pray our prayers. If you meant the prayer, it's documented. You forget, what did I pray yesterday? I don't know. Where's my list? You know. But when you have those times with the Lord, when you're truly praying, you truly believe God is, that he's real, that he hears you, and you pray the prayers, it's good. And then you wait on the Lord. Once you've committed something to the Lord, then you trust that he will perform it, that he'll bring it to pass. He will bring it. Because he's faithful. We forget. We're of flesh and blood. We're limited, but he doesn't. And he gives things. He gives good gifts, and he remembers what has been asked for. And in due season, at the right time, he gives you what you ask of him. He makes a way where there's no way. He gives the exchange. I don't want to belabor this, but I am intrigued. Come and buy from the Lord. Come to the vendor of spiritual things and seek him. How do I get from you what I need, what you're promising? The Lord's calling out. He calls out. This is not a hidden secret. He openly says, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you're hungry, come to me. If you're broken, come to me. If you're poor, if you're weary, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'm so tired. We are the most automated culture that is so tired. Have you thought about it? Lord Jesus, the car, we're worse than city. People in the city walk and do more than we do. Do you understand that? How close can you park your car to your house? I don't know that mine's even 10 steps away half the time. And my truck is 20 steps away. Wow. And then I go, I'm tired. There is an exhaustion on us. There really is. It's real. But wow. I don't know that I want to own it anymore. And the exhaustion comes from the worries. Really, honestly. It's the things we're carrying. That's what's making us exhausted. It's the things we're carrying. It's the burdens we're carrying. It's the baggage we're carrying. Crying out loud, a good walk invigorates. So why are we so tired? Jesus promises, I just challenge you. Take that and come to him with it. Lord, and look at the promise. I'll give you rest. Real rest. Do you know supernatural rest is like, wow, you want some of that. We're always wanting energy drinks, but how about if you just wake up in the morning and you really feel rested? Then you don't need the drink, right? What if your conscience is really clear? You don't need the antidepressant. What if you're really free? Then you don't need the substitute to help you. Wow. Hear the voice of the spiritual vendor. Come to me. Come, buy from me. Enter in. Look at the testimony of King David. The sure mercies of God, the covenantal favor was on this man, and he screwed up big time. I think it's safe to answer this question. Has anyone had committed adultery with your neighbor's wife and then had him killed? I hope I'm in a good place that no one will raise their hand. People will point at my favorite president and feel he's not worthy to be acknowledged for who he is and what he's doing, and then they'll turn and read their Bibles. Man, Moses was a murderer. David killed his, there's some bad dudes that wrote this Bible, but forgiven. I like that. It means I've got a chance. Lazarus was dead. Then he wasn't. So, Bible's full of hope and second chances and the sure mercies that are on him. I want the mercies. I want the light to come. I want to experience the rest that is from the Lord. And I would just encourage, let's put on some music, and we've got plenty of time today. And let's just see what the Lord does and just pray, ask the Lord for this. No striving.